Hi, I'm Grant Wall, and welcome to the Planet Football Podcast, where I go in-depth with the most intriguing people in the world of soccer. I'm on vacation right now, but we are releasing new weekly interview episodes on Thursdays while I'm gone. In this episode, I'm joined by Monchi, the director of football for Roma, and one of the most highly regarded directors of football in world soccer. Our conversation, which included interpretation by Roma's Claudio Bisceglia, was recorded on August 6th. Just a quick reminder, it's a huge help if you subscribe to, rate, and review the podcast. It helps people find us. Onward! Our guest today is the director of football for the Italian club Roma. Ramon Rodriguez Verdejo, better known as Monchi, is regarded as one of the finest directors of football in European soccer. He played as a goalkeeper for Sevilla from 1988 to 1999, and he went on to serve as Sevilla's director of football from 2000 to 2016. Along the way, he became known for identifying talent, including Sergio Ramos, Dani Alves, Ivan Rakitic, Julia Baptista, and many more. And during his time at Sevilla, the club won 5 UEFA Cup and Europa League titles. In 2017, he moved to Roma. Monchi, thank you for joining me. Gracias por la entrevista.
Gracias a vosotros.
Thank you.
Our interpreter today is Claudio Bisceglia. Many thanks to you for your help here. And I want to begin simply by asking the question, how do you describe what your job is as a director of football?
No es fácil describir el...
Well, it's not easy to describe my job, but to sum it up in a few words, you know, it's about carrying out the sports planning of a football club, everything that revolves around the planning. So from deciding who will be the trainer, to the club philosophy, the club model, hiring players, selling players, and luckily it's a figure that is becoming more and more important.
Why has the director of football position developed more over the years on the European continent and less so in England, for example?
Es una cuestión de
Well, it depends on the models. It's down to models. I usually identify three models. There's the presidential model, the so-called English model, which revolves around the figure of the head coach, and a mixed model where there is a president, a coach, and a sporting director coexisting. And in my opinion, the latter is the more balanced ones, which is a model where the president decides the amount of the investment, the coach detects the profile of the players, and the sporting director looks for the player. In England, over time, a coach model prevailed, and you know, it turned out to be quite successful. But in my opinion, slowly and gradually, they are shifting towards the European model, and that's why, because more and more foreign trainers, coaches are going to England, and they are used to work in this way with this model.
Very few directors of football in Europe have established a great reputation. It seems like there are a few. Why is it so difficult to establish a reputation as a really good director of football?
El director deportivo no tiene que ser nunca el actor principal de la película.
Well, this is the case because the sporting director is never the main actor in the football movie, so to speak. The main actors are always, and as it should be, the coach, the head coach, and the players. So it's usually a job that is carried out behind the scenes in the shadow. So that's why it's usually difficult to recognize his job, and people often even ignore the name of every single sporting director. But this is also changing due to the force that you know, this figure is taking over time. But I would say that this is the main reason, because you know, in nowadays football, the sporting director is not the main actor.
You were at Sevilla for many years. Why did you want to leave Sevilla after so many successful years there?
Es una pregunta que me han hecho ya en muchas
well,
ocasiones.
This is a question I had to answer many times lately, but the thing is that I never managed to convince the people I was speaking to. They thought, thinking, you know, and they were convinced about their previous opinions. But you know, I really thought it was time for me to have a change after spending 29 years in the same club, 12 years as a player, 17 as a sporting director. So it was the right time to change. I felt I needed to experience new things, and whether you know, to prove myself whether I was able to carry out this job out of my comfort zone, which was Sevilla. But you know, many people still think that I did it for money, because I had arguments with the president. But no, I really felt, you know, I was willing and eager to go through new feelings and experiences.
Why did you pick Roma over the other clubs that were interested in you?
I don't know. No sé. Pienso que de las posibilidades que surgieron, de las posibilidades.
Well, I think I chose Roma because out of the options that I had among them, Roma was the club that was offering me the chance of being myself, of being Monchi, which was a key to me, you know, to maintain the autonomy, the independence, to the responsibility, you know, to sum it up, the possibility to carry out my job under the very same circumstances that worked out fine for me. And Roma, you know, offered me the chance not to change my professional identity. They gave me this chance, and for 16 months later, from a professional standpoint, I can just confirm that my choice was right.
What is the structural hierarchy at Roma? So who is your boss? And is the hiring and firing of the first team coach, you said earlier, that is part of your job description, correct?
La jerarquía es similar a cualquier otra estructura.
Well, the hierarchy is similar to any other sports club. There's a president, a nota, an executive committee, a general director, a CEO. So it's very similar to what I used to have in Sevilla. Who's my boss? Well, my boss is Pallotta, but you know, luckily I can work autonomously. Obviously keeping him informed, updated and posted about every news, and so far this relationship is working just fine. I also enjoy a great relationship with the general director Baldissoni and the CEO Gandini. Hiring and firing coaches falls under my competencies, because from the choice of a coach, which is a key one, depends the success or failure of the sports project.
You have a history in your career of buying players at low prices and selling them for high prices. How do you go about identifying players? And what is the story of how you built your scouting staff when you just started doing this job?
¿Cómo detectamos el talento? Respuesta poco original.
How do we detect talent? Well, I'm afraid my answer would not be so original, and I would say through hard work. The truth is that I was asked this question many times, and I think that first of all, it's important to have in place a good scouting structure to get to the talent sooner than your competitors, and then try and find those players that are useful for your sports model, players that are functional to your model. So, you know, I would say to have a good scouting structure, a good planning of the work in general, and a good handling of information. And plus, nowadays, the importance of data. Data are not the philosophical stone, but, you know, they can make shorter the way to find the right player.
I won't ask you for any of your secrets with data, but it does sound like it plays a pretty significant role. How many scouts do you have at Roma, and how do you use the data? Is there any way to elaborate a little bit?
¿Cuántos scouts tengo?
Y en la Roma y cómo los utiliza.
Hoy somos 15.
Okay, so nowadays we have a team of 15 scouts, and basically we share the work by leagues. So each one has to monitor thoroughly one league, and all informations are put into a common data bank from where we decide which players to keep monitoring and which ones we stop monitoring. And all these people right now are working in Rome, but we are right now busy building a scout network that will be entrusted the task to monitor young players, a team supposedly of 20-25 people scattered throughout the world that will work under the monitoring of one person working based in Rome.
How is Roma different from Sevilla in how you do your job every day?
È differente per molte situazioni, no?
Well, it's different from many standpoints. First of all, in terms of media attention, the social attention that a club like Roma has, and plus the way it works, it's different. You know, it's two different clubs, two different countries and two different concepts of working. And as I already said in the past, it took me some time to realize that the Monchi that was good enough at Sevilla needed to change something in order to be useful for the Roma project. Then in terms of pressure and importance to try and achieve your targets, it's very similar, but the way to work is different, the way to get there.
What are your long-term goals, objectives at Roma?
Fundamentalmente, mi objetivo, no, lo que yo quiero aportar.
So my biggest target here in Roma is to build an economic model that would be sustainable and stable, and on the sports side, to make Roma as close as possible to the elite level and as close as possible to be successful. And so I would say that these are my two biggest targets in my stay in Roma.
Where does Roma's academy fit into your plans?
È importante el trabajo de las academias.
The work of the academy of the youth sector in general is of the essence for a club whenever you want to build a long-term project, you know, to have the possibility to count on young players that developed in your club. It makes the project all the more sustainable. You know, if these kids grew alongside the club, you know, they believe in the club and they identify even more with the club. So that's why, and also, you know, for these kids, the possibility to absorb the methodology they've been working over the years. So, you know, to sum it up, it is of the essence for Roma to dedicate attention to the work of the academy.
Just a couple more questions. I appreciate the time. There's a real sense that financial fair play rules from UEFA have at times forced Roma to sell some players it would have preferred to keep. For how much longer do you think that will be the case?
Bueno, Partiendo de la base.
Well, first of all, we are working in order to find that economic sustainability that would allow us to decide which players to sell, when to sell a player or not. And I would say that we are on the good track, which doesn't mean that we won't have to sell players in the future, because selling players is not an evil, it's a normal thing, as long as you can reinvest that money in facilities, coaches and players to keep growing and developing your club. Players have always been sold in the history of football. Barcelona sold Neymar, Real Madrid just sold Cristiano Ronaldo, Pogba was sold, Juventus have just sold Higuain. It's okay, as long as a club has the capacity to reinvest that money.
How much will a new Roma stadium, when it comes, influence your job?
Mucho. Porque será una fuente
because it will give us a source, an important source of revenues, and will raise even more the brand of AS Roma, and will give the club the capacity to invest more money with a bigger brand, well placed into the elite of the international market.
I have to ask about the Malcolm story. If anyone wants a more detailed version, there's an 8-minute video that Monchi recorded that you can see online very easily, outlining his perspective of what happened with Malcolm in Barcelona. What I would ask is, knowing what you know now, would you have done anything different on how the Malcolm situation happened?
Yeah. Fundamentalmente hubiera buscado un proyectil.
Well, in retrospective, I would have tried to find a bullet to shut down the satellite that, you know, puts into communication Barcelona and Bordeaux.
Fair enough.
No, creo, a ver. Creo, honestamente, que
frankly speaking, I don't think we could have done more. The player was about to board a plane. I had his passport with the EST application form for him to ready to fly to the US. The medicals for the next day were already booked. Hotel was booked. We had a ticket flight from Rome to San Diego for the player to join the club. You know, everything, we had a signed contract, everything was just ready. You know, as I said, just a bullet to put down the satellite between Barcelona and Bordeaux.
Yeah. ¿Puedo compartir esto o no?
No, puedes decir que lo estás viendo.
We're now looking at, that would be Malcolm's passport on his phone. Will you be extra motivated every time your team plays Barcelona in the future?
Yo, después de casi 20 años en este...
Well, no, after 20 years in the business, what I learned is that sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, that hatred does not lead you anywhere, and that it's much better to have friends than enemies.
My last question is... Who are the other directors of football in Europe that you admire the most, and why?
Muchos, no? Michael Sorg, Andrea Berta, Piero Ausilio, Antero, Fabio Parazzi. Fortunatamente,
I admire many of them, Sork, Berta, Ausilio, Antero. Luckily, the figure of a sporting director is growing and developing in the world of football, and people prepare and study in order to become a sporting director. In the past, you know, it was like, okay, what would you like to do in football? Okay, sporting director, okay, I'll do it. Nowadays, the level of cultural communications, knowledge has increased dramatically, and on top of the names, I just named a couple of names. You know, I could have named 20 good sporting director. What I pride myself most in is that of the growing importance of this figure inside a football club.
Monchi, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Also, thank you very much to Claudio Biselia for being the interpreter for the interview.
Okay.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Monchi and Claudio Biselia, as well as everyone at Cadence 13 and Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Please, if you like the pod, tell your friends, subscribe, like, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. It really does help the cause if you do. And check out the 30-minute Planet Football video show hosted by me and Luis Miguel Echegaray on SITV. That's available on SI.TV, Amazon Networks, and FuboTV. See you next time.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.